The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Sunday's edition. William Hill's Racing Radio will have all of Sunday's action covered from 1:40pm with the cards from Fontwell, Kelso and Newtoxeter, as well as action over at Nace. Ollie Pimlott, Kevin O'Malley and John Budden will be your studio team. To look ahead to three races from Newtoxeter and one from Kelso on Sunday's podcast is me, Michael Wood, and Rory Delaghi. Good afternoon, Rory.
Good afternoon, Michael.
And how are you?
I'm not bad, not bad at all. And hopefully we'll be, by the time this is played out, a lot better. It's always worrying when you see a car that you think is ripe for punting, but Saturday looks that way. Famous last words, of course, but hopefully Sunday will be good as well.
Well, before we look into a Sunday's action, we need to look at a few of the key talking points in the racing world, and we'll begin with the news that Ballydoyle will miss the Oaks. They're minding the favourite. It's even money with William Hill at this moment in time. The favourite is still set to be fit. So with that in mind, is it now the favourites to lose, Rory?
Well, I mean, minding was very impressive at Newmarket. And it's encouraging that she's been reported as being on target. But you have to be slightly concerned about the fact that she's reported to have split a sinus in the stalls before the Irish 1000. Now, she ran really well, and she wouldn't. She'd have run as if that wasn't an issue, because she'd have been running on adrenaline anyway, and she wouldn't really have been aware of any damage that she'd done to herself. So you couldn't mark her performance up for that. I think she found a very good filly on the day there. But sinuses are quite a serious issue. They can have knock-on effects. You hear lots of trainers bemoaning the fact that they've had, you know, top-class horses who've had sinus issues. If you go back, best part of 30 years, Reference Point won the Derby, but it was a real rush for Sir Henry Cecil to get him there on time because he had sinus problems. And I know Minding's issue is the fact that she's banged her head and she's damaged that rather than having an infection or something. But there could easily be an infection coming in the back of that. It's not easy to handle. So I'm not sure I want to get involved at even money with that slight well-being issue hanging over her. You want to know that she's going to get there on time. So, and I think she's, by definition, hot favourites tend to be easier to back on the day, because bookmakers always want to get something in the satchels at the start of the day. So rather than backing Minding Antipost, I think you should wait until the morning of the race. Of course, we've had the likes of Skiffle being supplemented for the Oaks, which might make it a slightly more interesting contest. And I'd put you off backing Minding at this stage. Not saying she can't win the race at all, and she's very, very high class, but you'll probably get better odds in a few days' time.
And you were in the Racing Radio studio on Friday night, where Yalta was a very impressive winner at Pontefract, and John Ferguson has confirmed the target for Yalta is the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. Is that a good move for you?
Yes, it's the obvious race for Yalta, proven at 6 furlongs. We've seen a number of very fast juveniles this season who'll be heading to the likes of the Norfolk or the Windsor Castle. But the Coventry's the race that they all want to win with the juveniles at the Royal Meeting, and Yalta's the perfect type. Very impressive first time out at Goodwood, despite racing against the rail that isn't always favoured, and then absolutely bolted up at Pontefract last night. From three useful rivals as well, never looked in any danger of defeat. Big unit. Horsey looks very, very well grown at this stage, and probably ahead of the vast majority of juveniles in terms of physical development. Stays 6 furlongs well, wants fast ground, certainly at this stage, and all those things should be in place for Royal Ascot. There may be a few who'll improve a chunk thereafter, but Yalta does look in pole position for the Coventry at this stage.
Yeah, and you can currently get Yalta with William Hill at 8-1. Their Caravaggio is a current favourite at 4-1. Well, Rory, let's move into Sunday's action. And we're going to begin with the 3:35 at Kelso. It's an interesting one, this one. We've got 10 runners for this handicap chase. And what has appealed to you in this one?
I thought this was a very difficult race, but then I looked at the other three races as well, and they're all pretty difficult. Very competitive stuff. All jump racing, of course, on Sunday, but very competitive fields for the time of year, and some decent money to be won as well. This, I thought the key feature of this contest is how many of these want to lead a race prominently. Virtually all of them, in one of the last few starts, has made the running or been in front at some stage in the early stages of the race. And I thought this was therefore set up for something that's going to be sitting in behind the pace, particularly with the ground liable to ride quick as well. You want something that's going to handle that. And the two that spring to mind, one of them is liable to be favoured, that's Looking Well, who's lightly raced over fences, whereas most of these have had plenty of racing. He's had the four starts and has gradually improved. His best efforts coming when second at Catterick in January, arguably, although he was set to post a very solid performance at Carlisle last time out, but for making a bad mistake at the second last when staying on. That was stepping up to this trip for the first time. He should, on pedigree, should stay. And on his style of racing, he gives the impression that he will be at least as good over this trip as he was over shorter. I suspect he's going to be a short price, though. Nicky Richards does very well through the summer, and I think that the market will catch on to him. Top weight, probably improving, and he's liable to be a reasonably short-priced favourite. On that basis, then, I've looked for a bit of value, and there's a horse here called Pena Dorada, who is put in the tissue that I have here at about 16-1, and I think that's very interesting indeed. He's been hunter chasing. His last run was a poor one. He ran in the Fox Hunter at Cheltenham and was well beaten, but you know he had absolutely no chance in that. But his earlier form gives him decent chances here. He's a course winner in the past. He was well beaten in a hunter chase at Kelso last time out. That came in heavy ground, which he doesn't handle. He wants quick ground. He gets it here. He likes the track. He gets on well with Rachel McDonald, the £7 claimer who rides him. She's ridden him in all his recent starts. And he's now back in the care of Alistair Willens after that spell hunter chasing. And I think he'll run a decent race. He'll also get this run to suit because he doesn't lead in his races, but he does travel strongly just behind the pace. And I think this is the perfect setup for him, having plenty of pace to chase. Arguably, you could say his very best form has come at marginally shorter, but given the ground's going to ride in the quick side, I think it'll favour speed to some degree. And Pena Dorada, at least on the tissue, looks overpriced.
So Pena Dorada in the 3:35 at Kelso for Rory. Let's move on to the 3:45 at Uttoxeter, where we've got a handicap hurdle. 13 runners in this one, Rory. What's caught your eye in this one?
Again, very hard to rule many of these out. But once again, a race where there seems to be lots of early pace or a very solid pace in question. We do at least have one race later on where there looks to be no pace, and we'll take advantage of that, I hope. The likes of Masquerade and Upton Wood, Codicil, all want to make the running, and a few of the others have raced handily. I think that means it's going to be set up for a horse who can settle off the pace. There's a trio I'm interested in. I'll mention them all before giving the selection. Officer Houlihan improved last time out for the fitting of a hood, which he wears again today. And that's that was also his first outing on quick ground for Tim Vaughan. Shane Shortall rode him that day when he won at Carlisle. He now is ridden by Alan Johns, claiming the five. He's probably going to improve again. Tends to be held up towards the rear of the field, and he's interesting. As is, and probably at a bigger price, Jester Jett. She's lightly raced, the daughter of Overbury, trained by Tony Carroll and ridden by Lee Edwards. And her only solid efforts have come at this track, in different conditions as well. She was second in a novice over 2 miles here in December on heavy ground, and she was second again in a handicap over course and distance last time, where they didn't go much of a pace and she pulled clear with one other. I thought she did well in the circumstances. The form of the novice she came second in has worked out reasonably well since, and she looks fairly handicapped off 99. She might be a big price, and I definitely want to have her on side if she was. But the selection is going to be Carré Noir, Martin Hill's horse. Now, Martin's not had a tremendous 6 months or so, but he's a very, very capable trainer, and he tends to do very well in the summer with his horses. Carinar is very lightly raced. He's one of the top weights here, rated 114, a mark off which he was placed behind the Terrard Man at Exeter last time out. That was a strong race for the time of year. The Terrard Man has gone on and won again since. And a couple of those in behind have run well over fences subsequently. I don't think Carinoir stayed the trip that day. That was the extended 2 mile 7 at Exeter. Travelled as well as anything into the race and then was one paced over the last two. That's often the sign of a horse who's not quite getting home. He'd previously won at Newton Abbott over 2 mile 5. Again, travelling very sweetly through the race, racing with enthusiasm. He beats Talk of the South and Tea Time Fred. Tea Time Fred has come out and won again since as well to frank that form. And I think Carinoir is still well handicapped. He's only had a handful of run in handicap since joining Martin Hill from France. And I think a mark of 114 is very fair. I think he's better classed than most of these. He will also get the race run to suit. He's a horse who travels very sweetly, but likes to come from off the pace. He's going to have a lot of potential short runners going hard early on here, and he'll have a good target to aim at later on. So he looks, I think he should be favourite for this. He's not favourite on the tissue I have. It's 10 to 1 shot. I think he'd be a fair bet at half those odds.
So Carinoir for Rory in the 3.45 at Utoxeter. Let's move on to the 4.20, where we've got 13 runners for this intriguing looking handicap. What's caught your eye in this one?
Well, this it's one of those races you start from the top and go, oh, that's quite interesting. And you end up finding about seven horses who are interesting for one reason or another throughout the race. A couple that need to be mentioned. Manella Present definitely needs a mention. Course winner, distance winner from a yard who you respect when the ground gets quick. But more importantly, Manella Present is owned by Jane Gerard Pierce, which is not a name that will be familiar to many people. But Jane Gerard Pierce is the daughter of Stan and Hilda Clark, after whom the race is named. Now, I think there's an awful lot of nonsense generally talked about sponsors looking to win their races. If you sponsor a race, you don't really care if you have a winner. A lot of sponsors will happily put a runner in a race. But it doesn't really help for the whole PR bit of it to be presenting a prize to themselves. Whereas when a race is named in honour of someone or named in memory of someone, then an owner with a family connection there will be keen to win. And there's very little doubt that Manella Present has been aimed at this race. In saying that, it's a decent prize for the time of year. It's over 16,000 to the winner. So most of these shrewd trainers will have seen this race on the calendar and will have made sure that they've got horses ready for it. But I thought I'd mention that anyway. The more I look at the race, the more obvious it is to me that we've got a field full of hold-up horses, as a rule. I respect the Paul Nicholls pair, Dormelo Moe and Reuben Cotter. Dormelo Moe generally races prominently. He's hard to win with, but he's always there or thereabouts, and he should be again. Reuben Cotter has been hard to keep right and very lightly raced for his age, but he was impressive winning at Chepstow last time out with Harry Cobden on his back. Harry Cobden keeps the ride. He raced very prominently that day. If he does so again, he hasn't always done, but if he does so again, then he'd be well positioned. And I would have him down as the danger to the selection. But again, in the hope of getting some good value, I think you'll get a decent price about Germany Calling. Trained by Charlie Longston and ridden by Sean Bowen. I think Sean Bowen's got, he doesn't ride very often for Charlie Longston, but he's got something like a 50% record for the yard. The only front runner in the race, essentially. Very disappointing when last seen, but he was running over 2 miles in the Grand Annual at Cheltenham, and just that was his first run for about 5 months as well, and he found that too much, made mistakes from an early stage and never get into the race. Normally, he's a front runner. He was a winner of a handicap chase at Carlisle last October. That's a meeting where Charlie Longston always seems to have his horses ready for, and he did that quite impressively. Disappointed in two starts since, but the first of those was on soft ground that he didn't handle. The second was in the Grand Annual, so I wouldn't judge him too harshly on that. He's very lightly raced over fences. He was a winner in his chase debut just over a year ago. He then pushed Del Arca close on in a novice chase over this course and distance on his next start. Unlike most of these, he's not fully exposed over fences, and he will make the running. So with most of these being confirmed hold-up horses, Germany Calling might just get himself loose in the lead. If he was in a big field and with company for the lead, I'd be worried about his jumping. But the fences are soft at Utoxeter, and if he gets the lead on his own, then he'd be happy enough to pop away. And they might just, you know, leave him alone in front and give him a big chance. So given that there are some High-profile horses, high-profile yards represented here. I think Germany Calling could go off at a bigger price than he should be, and he should get the run of the race.
So Germany Calling in the 4.20 at Utoxa is the selection. And our final race of this podcast is the 4.50 at Utoxa for a Memorial Handicap Hurdle. We've got 14 runners in this one. What would be the best bet in this one, Rory?
This is a really fascinating contest, full of horses who are... who are fairly unexposed. I've a feeling that there's going to be a market move on a horse called King Alfonso, trained by Neil Mulholland, making his debut for the yard, having left Di Burchell. He's not been making much of an impact over fences of late, but should do better hurdling. He's well handicapped in his best form, and I can see a few people latching onto him because that's quite a strong-looking angle. But if you go back through the stats, Neil Mulholland probably... doesn't specifically target these races first time up with new recruits. And his strike rates, horses starting out for the yard, don't have a better strike rate than the horses who've got experience for the yard. So it may well be that King Alfonso will come good in time, but not immediately for his yard. Although the booking of Sean Bowen is interesting. He could make the market. I think he'll be favourite. Marley Joe was interesting for Martin Keithley. He suddenly improved of late. He would have won at Taunton two starts ago, but for being carried out by a loose horse. He then won at Huntingdon, and there should be more to come from him, although he's gone up £11 from that win, so he does need to do better. The going at this stage... as long as my understanding of the weather and the current going report is correct, will be pretty fast. And a lot of these want a bit of give in the ground. A couple who don't are Jinsha Lake, who beat Perspicace on his handicap debut at Toaster last time out. Now, both of those are interesting. Perspicace went on to win his next start at Worcester. Both of those would want fast ground. Both of those are improving, and I would definitely have them on my short list. But again, looking for one that's forecast at a bigger price, I'm very interested in a horse called Alia San. Beautifully bred, son of See the Stars, out of an Aga Khan mare called Alea. That makes him a half-brother to the smart hurdler Alevan. He was good in bumpers. Seamus Jurek does well with his bumper horses. He was a dual bumper winner on good ground. We haven't seen him since December when he was unplaced at Cheltenham on soft ground. But he's a horse who on pedigree and on what we know of him is best when the ground is quick. He comes from a yard that does very well specifically with horses coming off a break. Seamus Jurek is very much that kind of trainer. First time out or first time out that season is the time to catch most of his horses. He's booked... Richard Johnson to ride this horse as well, which is very significant for the yard. And although he's got tons to find on hurdles form, he'd be one of the worst handicapped of these on paper. I think he's an awful lot better than he's shown so far, and this is his opportunity to show it. So hoping that we get in ahead of the any market move on Alia San, I think he's a very interesting selection in that race.
So Alia San in the last at the 4.50 at Utoxa. So Rory, just to recap those four selections.
Sure, in the 3.35 at Kelso, I've gone with Pena Dorada. The 3.45 at Utoxa, my selection is Carré Noir. In the 4.20, I'm with Germany Calling. And in the 4.50 at Utoxa, the selection is Alia San.
Well, our thanks to Rory Delaghi for his picks and a betting analysis on Sunday's action. And remember to join Racing Radio from 1.40pm for all of the racing with Ollie Pimlott, Kevin O'Malley and John Budden.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.